Welcome to the Voice of the Winged Ox, the official podcast of St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Jamestown, New York. I'm your host, Rev Merrill. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us that he has not come to bring peace in the earth, but rather a sword. And he describes this conflict as being two against three, three against two in a household of five, and that father will be against son, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. As Father Eric says, this is quite uncomfortable, as is the reading from Hebrews, most of chapter 11 into chapter 12 deals with how a number of faithful biblical people, familiar and unknown, have faced conflict, have faced torture, and have remained faithful to God. Here is Father Eric.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I read lessons like these, it makes me want to head for the exits. Lessons full of conflict, of violent death, people being sawn in half, of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, telling us that he has come to bring not peace but the sword, and that he can't wait to kindle the fire on the earth. It would be nice to believe, as I want to believe, that all conflict is avoidable. In fact, I wonder how much actual energy I spend in life trying to avoid conflicts of one kind or another. But not all conflict is avoidable. Some is unavoidable. And in fact, there are different types of conflict in our lives, some of which are, in fact, not negative at all. When I look at my life, when I examine inside, I find that there is some conflict that stems from my own egotism, selfishness, arrogance, and pride. There are times when I want my will to be done, not God's will, and certainly not someone else's will, someone in my family, let's say, or someone in the church staff. I know what's right, and I'm going to enforce my will, no matter what the cost, to other people. That kind of conflict arises not from any pure motives, but only from my need to be in control and to dominate. And the types of actions that come out of that conflict are almost always bad. Coercion, pressure, psychological pressure, or sometimes, thank God, not yet in my case, but they can lead to violence and to hatred and to all sorts of terrible consequences. For this type of conflict, I need to be willing to be penitent, to confess, and to be sorry and to amend my ways, to act instead in humility and to let go of that need to be in charge all the time. There are other types of conflict, though, that we all engage in that are simply people of goodwill having different opinions. There are times when I don't need to dominate, but I just happen to have a different understanding than someone else about a particular issue. And in those cases, there can be all sorts of techniques for coping with that conflict. You know, in our military, there are different levels of preparedness. You know, there's DEFCON 5, which is all-out war. But there are several places before we get there. DEFCON 1 is simply low-level conflict, differences of opinion. And it's in these situations that we can call upon skills of negotiation, of compromise, or perhaps we have room in our minds and hearts for creative thinking, for new ways of approaching things. We were blessed to have an exchange student, Alex, from France for 6 months this past year, and we saw things very differently from Alex on a number of issues. Faith and politics and worldview, very, very different. And yet we were able to expand our horizons, and we hope that she was able to expand her horizons. We believe she was, through the interaction that we had, which you could call a sort of conflict, a clash of different ideas and ways of looking at the world, but which led instead for us to just a wider vision that there are other people who live in this world with other points of view. That's a kind of maturity that we come to when we're open to receiving wisdom from others. So that kind of conflict can be a very positive and productive thing. Or it can lead to character assassination and back to the first kind, you know, domination and persuasion. The third kind of conflict is, I believe, where Jesus is talking today. This is moral conflict. This is the conflict that arises, Jesus says, inevitably arises from our walk with God. If we are to be obedient to God, if we are to be His people, then we are inevitably going to encounter conflict with this world, with the values and the attitudes and the actions of this world. We look in that letter to the Hebrews at the whole history of the heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, and it's a whole history of conflict, isn't it? Conflict of one kind and another, terrible suffering and sacrifice on the part of God's people so that God's will might be known and done in the world. It'd be nice to say that once Jesus came, all that went away. But Jesus is the one who told us that in order to follow Him, we need to take up our cross daily, to be willing to suffer, to sacrifice, and to be in conflict, sometimes painfully, even within our own families, within those closest to us, because this conflict, we said, is inevitable. One of my favorite movies won an Academy Award, 25 years ago, Chariots of Fire. Many of you, I'm sure, saw it, about the Olympic Games in 1924 in Paris, and two British runners who went to those Olympic Games tell us their story. One of them was named Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell, a Scotsman who had been born to missionary parents in China. It was his life's work to become a missionary, and in fact he died later in his life in China, sacrificing his life for his deep devotion to Christ, trying to bring the gospel to that land. But he also was blessed with tremendous athletic ability, and the movie tells the story, many of you probably remember, of the trials for his best event, the 100-meter race, which he was considered a favorite for a medal. But the heat, the trial heat for that race fell on a Sunday. He searched his conscience, and he decided that he could not run that time trial on a Sunday. It seems incredible today when virtually every sport, professional all the way down to peewee, happens on Sunday. Incredible that someone could take that stand to sacrifice his ambitions, his desire for glory in that event. As I was thinking about Eric Liddell, I had a picture of another athlete in my mind, Barry Bonds. And I was thinking, what a contrast. And I don't want to pick on Barry Bonds. He is not an evil person. He is a child of his age. He, I think, haunts us because he represents so much about our culture, about this time in which we live. Is there any sport or any walk of life that is not tainted by the kind of things that Barry Bonds is accused of engaging in? I don't think we need to look too far to see echoes of that in our own milieu. Well, Eric Liddell did sacrifice his place on the squad for the 100-meter race. He was put instead into an event that he was not as good at, the 400-meter run. If you're a runner, you know there's a huge difference between that short distance and the middle distance. And that, right before he ran in that race, and this is purportedly a true story, someone put a piece of paper into his hand And on that piece of paper, it said a little verse from the prophet Isaiah, "Those who honor me, I will honor." In the movie, he holds that piece of paper as he runs the 400 and is victorious, conquers that challenge, and rises to glory. But in everything he did, Aaron Little, by all accounts, did not do it for himself, but he used even his athletic ability as a means of drawing people in so that he could share with them his faith in Jesus. The headmaster of his school in England said, "Here is a young man who has no vanity." Wouldn't it be great if someone could say that about us? Here's a person who has no vanity. Boy, that's hard to pull off. That's really hard to do. Because we, all of us, struggle to live in this world. We struggle to be obedient to God, as Aaron Little was. And we struggle to engage in conflict with this world. It's so easy and tempting and almost impossible not to go along to get along, to avoid those conflicts, to just say, well, everybody is doing it. Well, it's just the way things are. That's a great cop-out for us today. It's just the way things are. We didn't create this world in which Sunday is completely shot for family time and in which there are so many demands on sports and other events. It's just the world we live in. We're powerless, so we might as well just go along. Instead, Jesus says to us, be obedient. Make a stand where it's appropriate. Maybe Sunday morning is not your stand, but in each one of our lives, there comes a time when our values as Christians come into conflict with the values of this world. And each one of us finds that perhaps in a different place, in a different time, in a different way. It may be an ethical problem at work. It may be a crisis in the family. It may be an issue at school or in the wider community. But wherever that happens, we are called upon to engage in that conflict faithfully. And I want to say one more thing. If we apply the lessons of the other types of conflicts to this moral conflict, we'll get in trouble. The life of Jesus points us to a way of being in conflict that we must not lose sight of. You know, Jesus offered his teaching to all, but he never coerced anybody into going along with his point of view. He never used violence or coercion to force his point of view, and neither should we. We don't need others to agree with us. We just need to be faithful in offering the truth that we have received. That's such an important lesson. Because if we're in the business of coercion, of persuasion by force, then we will always end up in negative conflict. But if we take the other tack, you know, Aaron Little didn't put down any of the other athletes in those Olympic Games. He did not say that their decision to run on Sunday was sinful or bad. He simply said for him, it was a decision he could not make. He sacrificed himself rather than sacrificing others. That's the key, I think, for me in this Christian conflict pattern. That we take upon ourselves the cost and the burden, just as Jesus took upon himself the cost of our sins. He did not say to those around him, "You bad people, agree with me or die." He simply said, "Won't you come with me? Here's what I have to offer." We can engage in this kind of conflict. I believe we will be walking more truly in the path of Jesus Christ. We will be at odds with the world, but we will not be people of violence or coercion, but instead people of humility, of love, and of mercy in every situation and with every person. In this way, I believe, we can honor our Lord, Jesus Christ, follow in his footsteps, and be more truly the people he wants us to be. Amen.
Thank you, Father Eric. Certainly, making our own informed decisions based on our understanding of Jesus' way and then acting accordingly is difficult, but necessary. And offering our truth rather than coercing other people's behavior is a model that we see Jesus showing us on a daily basis. You can contact us at the blog, thewingedox.blogspot.com, or by calling our comment line at 206-203-3904. Our music is by Josh Weinberg, Dawn. I'm your host, Rev Merrill. May God bless your week.